Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. I am Gina Murphy, darling, and I thank you for listening. The name of our show today, I want you to listen to every word, is Big Impact with Zero Waste, and get your head around that, because some of what our guest is going to be sharing with us today is all about what a major corporation in our country and in our state are doing about waste. It's a big issue for us as a nation, and we have to figure out what to do with all of it that we're producing. And we're talking about a big impact when we're talking zero waste. So please join me in welcoming Lisa Lavallo, Vice President and Market Manager for Cox Communications. Welcome, my friend. And it's great to have you here
Thank you very much.
In the old Pueblo.
Thank you.
Something unusual for us. Why don't we start by you just sharing a little bit about what your role is as VP of Marketing and Market Manager and Vice President for Cox. What's the scope? It's a big scope.
So my job really is to make sure that all the things that we do at Cox, from installing your services to the things that we do in the community, that those things are all woven together. Obviously we need to meet our goals. We're a business, and so we have really specific goals around our customer relationships and making sure our new products are launched and that they are meeting customer demand. Customer service elements, making sure that when someone comes to your home that everything goes as you had hoped. So really, I'm the person that's kind of the glue between all the departments.
And there are a lot of departments.
There's a lot of departments.
A huge service industry. You have lots of things that
it's a big business.
And, you know, I always am amazed when I start, I call going down the rabbit hole of research. Because, I mean, who doesn't know about Cox? I mean, come on, unless you're living somewhere off-grid and whatever. But when I start doing research, sometimes I'm delighted and sometimes it's like, this is maybe not. This company, the founders, the family, it had the vision over 100 years ago to, as one of its three core principles, to commit to conservation and environmental sustainability. And I would go out on a limb here, 100 years ago, a lot of people weren't thinking about conservation efforts. It was a really small niche of people that had the vision and knew we were headed in a bad direction.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to work for a privately held company that the family is still very involved. And from the founder, Governor Cox, to the family members that run the business today, conservation has been just a key value of that family, and they've embedded that in their business, over 120 years. They started in the newspaper business, and in the mid-70s, they were one of the first companies to use recycled paper. I mean, they were constantly looking for ways to give back and make
that.
A difference.
Nobody did that then.
And they've created a culture at Cox that's just part of how we roll. It gets harder and harder as you get bigger and bigger, but they've definitely kept to that value system. And our employees feel it. They create expectations of how we behave and operate. When we expand, when we look at working with partners, the sustainability of the earth, the environmental attitude we take, not just within our company, but outside of our company. And the other thing is that they put their money where their mouth is. I mean, they have invested over the past 10 years, over $100 million in conservation efforts across this country. So they're putting real money behind this. And they've created some really specific goals that they expect their 25,000 Cox Communications employees to achieve over the next decade.
And it's not just like what I call Band-Aid giving. Some of the things I looked at that they fund are substantive and lasting. And it's not just a little bit of a grant to a nonprofit, which in some cases is just what that nonprofit needs to survive. I'm not going to minimize that. But they're doing some really big things and investing big dollars. The foundation, how do you get, when you talked about, bringing our employees on board, is that an obstacle or a challenge, or is it just an expectation that you seem to be able to set when someone is hired? Because it's lots of people at very different levels.
Yeah, I think, when you're talking about a family-owned business that is five generations deep.
Wow.
You know, that in and of itself is a unique proposition also. And so, you know, they think long term. So taking on the bigger problems and bigger challenges around the things that they care about, and then being able to create a company that throws off the resources that they can reinvest in things that are important, not just to our business and our customers, but to our country, is kind of how we operate. I mean, I would say that they've really imbued in all the employees that type of culture and connectiveness to where you work and where you live. And, you know, taking care of that is first order. So, you know, I think we hire people that have the right character. You know, if you have everybody has the same skills, let's say, for one particular interview,
right,
we hire the character, the person that has these types of values as well. So that's part of how our company operates. And the founders and the family members are very focused on it. So it's impossible to be in Cox and not know that that's part of who they expect us to be as employees.
And my sense is, having, you know, run big corporations myself, you can't mandate that. You can't just say this is it. It has to be pace of the leader, pace of the team. It has
yes.
to be how you show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another important factor that contributes to the success, because they're not just telling their employees what to do, or
no.
you're not. They're doing it.
They're doing
they're
it.
They're walking the first walk.
They are. And then, you know, they're taking also the opportunity they have as the owner of the company to set some goals. So you can say, okay, this is how many new customers we want to go get. But this is also the amount of water we want conserved. This is the amount of carbon we want reduced. This is the amount of waste we want taken out of our system. It's good for our business. It's good for the ecology of the earth. And as the owners of the company and as our senior leaders in Atlanta listen to them, they create specific objectives for us to achieve it. And we celebrate that too. You know, we have
that's
Cox,
always a
yeah,
great
we've got
part
Cox
of it.
Conserves
it
events that have conservation heroes. We have conservation ambassadors within Cox. We have the President's Cup, which is a competition within the company to see who can be the most dynamic in terms of creativity around what we can do with the environment. So they make it specific goals they have, but they make it fun, and then they reward
so
employees for that kind of behavior.
Three critical components.
Right.
Components. You set the bar, and then you get excited about
yep.
people really doing it and reward them. I mean, I love it. So let's talk specifically about the Zero Waste mm-hmm. Honor that you guys received. And there was a press release which got mm-hmm. our attention about seven of its office locations nationwide achieve zero waste to landfill status. And one of those seven locations is right here in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
How do you achieve zero waste? And does that literally mean you're not throwing anything away? It's everything's getting recycled. How deep does this go and wide? It's
well,
a big deal.
I mean, to give you some scope, over the past 10 years, as the company has been focused on this reduction in waste and carbon and saving of water, we have basically offset 82,000 tons of carbon, 97,000 tons of waste from landfills we've reduced, and conserved 57 million gallons of water. And what's really interesting about the Southwest is our employees really got excited about these goals. And so they started to come up with ideas on their own. Because you can have top-down leadership saying this is important, but you also have to have the grassroots aspect,
yes.
the people who are actually going to do
boots on the ground.
Effort. They
yes.
got to feel good about it
yep.
and believe that they are empowered to make choices. So employees in Phoenix came up with an idea called TWIG, which is turning waste into good.
Love it.
Right?
Like that, I always love an acronym. It's like, it's so cute and it's so meaningful.
Right.
So it's like TWIG.
Yeah,
I love
and they
it.
Created a logo, you know, a little branch and everything. And so our employees started gathering up all the waste. And, you know, we're a cable company. We have a lot of material that is recyclable, from copper to metal products. And so it started there and also then moved to our suppliers to say to our suppliers, you know, this is how we operate, whether that's Sodesco in our cafeteria, wherever there was waste being
it's
created.
It's a ripple effect.
We had that expectation with the people that we work with. So they started collecting this material. And so they created, you know, you think of bins under your desk for recycling,
right.
you know, material. But we have these huge containers for recycling
yeah.
this large material. From
scale.
Cable boxes to, right. And so our employees started that process and have been very, very successful. And then the other thing that the employees did, because again, this isn't about Cox making more money. This is really about kind of a value system that we want to live. The money that we get from recycling all this product, we give it to local nonprofits. So the employees went a step further and said, it's great that we're doing this for the environment, but we're doing this and it's creating some resource. And so Cox doesn't need that resource.
Right.
But
right.
others in our community do. So, you know, on an annual basis, anywhere from $50,000 to $60,000 a year is generated
from
in
waste.
Recycled products from
yes.
waste.
Yes.
That 10 years ago we'd have been throwing away that is being put back into the local economy through nonprofit giving.
So what kinds of things do you actually use to, like, do you sell? There's no other better way to say it. So is it a lot of e-waste, electronic waste that you have?
Yeah, we have a lot of
paper waste. What is the
all that? I mean, I would say probably where we have the most benefit in terms of recycling for financial, you know, for cash, would be in the electronics, copper, you know, all that stuff that we use to build a cable network, all gets recycled.
And it's amazing to me. I mean, you know that on building sites all over, not just in mm-hmm. Tucson, but all over the country, they have hired security companies
yeah.
because copper is in such demand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a precious resource. Mm-hmm. So being able to sell that back, I'm sure that price holds.
Yeah, I mean, you separate plastics, you separate copper, you separate metal, you separate all these things out. That all requires, of course, that employees are doing that. We don't just throw all of it in a dumpster. You know, so there's a little bit on our end that you have to set up systems so that it's easy for employees who are very busy and who have a job that they're required to perform in can easily dispose of their waste in the work that they do in an organized fashion. So organizing all of that in our yards and everything requires a process and a commitment by the company. So it's very rewarding for our employees to see what can be done and what ideas they can come up with to forward this mission. Another example is on Earth Day, we always have big events at our retail stores and we have people bring their computers or any of their electronics and we'll recycle them for them. So, you know, at our store in Southern Arizona, I mean, half of the parking lot was computers. So people are bringing all this stuff that is sitting around that they don't know what to do with it. And, you know, sometimes computers and technology can't be repurposed to a school or
totally
it's
right.
obsolete.
They have to pull it apart and
right.
use the parts.
Use the parts. So, and in there, it's a lot of things that are recycled. So, you know, we go through that and we promote that to try to get people to bring their electronics waste to us so that we can recycle it. And again, this is not Cox making money off of this. This is us then taking the money and putting it back into the community.
And is there a protocol for if they bring things to you that aren't stripped? I mean, do people worry about that? Do you strip the machine? Like, I have a lot of stuff on my computer that I don't want anybody to see.
Yeah,
I actually don't have anything on my computer that people can't see.
We get those questions.
Yeah.
Most people probably clean it a little bit. They try
yeah,
to.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, all that stuff's being broken down. So no one's
so
looking
it's going
in
into
yeah.
many pieces.
Yeah.
Like, I don't live in that paranoid world of who's going to get my information because everybody has it anyway.
It's yeah, exactly.
You can see my house from a satellite. Light
exactly.
up in space, so I'm not too worried about it. What about the like the challenges of the market?
Mm-hmm.
And the market is sometimes fickle.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that working with recycling organizations in the city of Tucson, Department of Environmental Services, sometimes there's a great market for things. Copper is one of the exceptions.
Sure.
I think in 10 years, there's always been mm-hmm. a market for copper. But does it? And I can see how it doesn't impact your business, but it impacts your ability to give back if certain things that lose their value and you're getting a lower cost. I mean, do those...
I think the way that we've approached this is that we recognize that you have to get further up the food chain. If you're really going to be at zero waste, you have to make sure that the products that you're buying, that your suppliers are providing you with something that has recyclable capability.
Great.
So
good
if someone
answer.
Is giving us a material that no one is taking as a recycled product, or are we actually getting some recycled products from companies? You know, are they doing their part? So Cox has established at our enterprise level in Atlanta a board of directors from each company of Cox, Cox Automotive, Manheim, Cox Communications, our media group. And so we have very senior leaders. I mean, senior vice president and above leaders sitting on this, and they're looking at our supply chain. They're looking at every company of Cox and looking at where we have the ability to continue to make large benefit at the highest level. So, you know, if you're working with Cisco Systems and you're buying, cable boxes from them, what percentage of that cable box is from recycled material?
Right.
You know, do we need to have this much inventory? You know, inventory also is a place where you have a lot of cost and you have a lot of material. You know, so, I mean, do we need that many, do we need that much material? You know, so there's a really a concerted effort looking at all the elements of our supply chain to say, where can we do better? How can we get to zero waste? If we have to have a product that creates waste, is it from recycled material? You know, all those questions have to be asked in order to achieve, I think, that more, that zero waste mindset.
And when you talk about change, true substantive change in this world of environmental stewardship, I believe that every citizen has a role, an important mm-hmm. role, but the big companies are the green, I say they're the ones moving the green needle forward, because it really starts where you just said, at the purchasing end, not at the recycling end. Mm-hmm. So if you're Cox Communications, you have the ability to make such a bigger impact in terms of environmental stewardship and impact those companies who are your suppliers. It is the ultimate ripple effect.
Yeah, you have to have partnership. I mean, no one can get to a zero waste on their own. It requires an effort with suppliers, with employees, and customers. You know, I mean, the other side of this coin is Cox doesn't spend a lot of time promoting this about itself.
Agreed. You know, I was going to mention that, because you don't see it blaring all over the family website. I mean, the corporate website.
It's not. It's something that we do because it's the right thing to do. It's not something that they use as an advertising advantage or where they want to say, our competitors don't do this and we do this. It's never been that in my time with Cox. It's really about just how we are, how we show up, what you're expected to do as a human being.
And this
company has this. It's a way of being. Now, that being said, I would like, And as much as I can, promote the good things that Cox does around this. I mean, in Southern Arizona, we have a real bend towards the environment. We care about our open space. We care about our Sonoran Desert. And we care about things like buffalo grass, you know? And so I would like to talk about it more. And I want consumers to react. You know, when you have a rate increase or when you do things like that in your normal business and customers get upset, you know, are they really going to pick the companies that have a mindset towards what is in the best interest of the whole? Who's concerned about our ecosystem here? Are they really picking and making a buying decision based on that information? Now, from Cox's perspective, we're not marketing that. We're not expecting our customers to give us extra kudos because we do all this. We do this because that's the value system of our company. I hope in the future that we become more comfortable talking about this as a role model, how other organizations and companies should operate. It's not a secret. It's not like we're keeping it a secret,
right.
But it's mostly about the work we said we wanted to do. That's how it feels to me as an employee. It's like, look, this is the goals that we have. This is how the family has always positioned itself. These are the strategies that we're going to have to get to these goals. And while Cox has had some recognition both nationally and locally for the effort, I think we're so much further ahead than a lot of organizations. It makes me very proud as an employee, but I would like to, you know, shows like this help tell the story a little bit better.
It's a great story. And to me, of course, with what I'm doing every day, the story, who's telling the story? And you mm-hmm. and I talked about it when we met the other day. It's like, who's telling the mm-hmm. story? Because I believe that research would support this. More and more and more people care. They're getting the message mm-hmm. that we don't have unlimited supply as a planet, that there are now billions of people, not hundreds of millions of people, and there's still one planet supplying so many of our needs. So I think customers and community would love to know about it.
Well, and there's a lot of innovation, too, that we're looking at in terms of how you upgrade networks, how you go from copper to fiber, how you use your existing network as economically as you can. So instead of ripping everything out, are there technologies that we can use to make our existing network work better and function at a higher level and meet needs of customers without creating a lot of, you know, even just digging stuff up or hanging more stuff up on telephone
right,
poles.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of other things that, you know, the beauty of our community and some of those things are considered to be also a mindset towards environmental friendliness. We want to see our mountains here.
Right. We all do. Mm-hmm. And all around the country, there's that beautiful site. We don't want to be obstructed. What about in the area of fleet management?
Yep.
What kind of things, because you have so many mm-hmm. trucks.
We have big trucks
mm-hmm. all around the country, which is another, you know, big source of CO2 emissions.
Yep.
What's the initiative there?
Yep. So that was one of our big initial focuses in terms of getting our carbon footprint down. And so we did several things. One is we went to hybrid bucket trucks. So those big, huge trucks that you see going up on the telephone poles, when they are driving down the road, they're using diesel fuel. I think diesel fuel is a more environmentally, I'm not sure about that, but we're trying to use the best fuel in terms of efficiency for the environment.
Right, it is, because it's kind of a leftover. You know what I mean? The oil has been dug, mm-hmm. and drilled and all that stuff. So it's a byproduct.
So, I mean, we're trying to use the best fuel,
right.
For emissions. Then we decided that when our trucks aren't running, the old trucks was burning gas all the time.
Right.
So when you use
right.
that bucket and you move that arm, it's using gasoline. Now it's electric. So any times our trucks are stopped, they're electric. So they're hybrided like that. That was the first thing. The second was we looked at how to get better gas mileage and how to make our trucks lighter so that we wouldn't consume as much of that resource.
And people don't think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, weight is huge in terms of what it takes to move the vehicle. It makes sense. It does for airplanes. It matters a lot. How much is it going to take to fuel this puppy mm-hmm. and get it moving?
And then we also looked at, if you put nitrogen into your tires instead of air, I think it's nitrogen. If you put that in there instead of air, you also have a different wear on your tire, and it creates a better overall environmental composition of that truck. So
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Mrs. Green here, 10 mm-hmm. years later, I'm going to be all over that on Google.
Yeah. Yeah, check that out. We looked at that in terms of how that the burn of rubber and how that affects the economy of the gas. So we really looked at every aspect of our trucks that we could. Another simple thing that we did was, again, on the weight of the trucks. So when you see the trucks that go to your house on a daily basis, they're full of equipment, right? They've got copper, they've got boxes, they've got all this stuff, all these tools. We looked for weight optimization, like how heavy should those trucks be safe and to be efficient? And so we pulled a bunch of stuff off those trucks. So those trucks are not big warehouses. They're lean. They're used to be as cost effective as possible
and efficient.
And efficient. And that stuff is stored then, you know. And once a year, it's funny. You can go out to the parking lot where our trucks are, and once a year they have a competition where all the guys take their stuff out of the trucks, and see how light they can make them. And still be effective at serving the customer. So, you know, that's fun for employees, but it's really about that truck. I mean, what are we doing there? And that has been a big driver of our CO2. Also is, you know, from the electricity standpoint and how carbon emissions and electricity work together. So every single facility that we have has got solar parking. So we are buying and selling solar energy back to the grid.
Huge. Huge.
So we're doing that.
Big
We've done
deal.
All the small things inside, from light bulbs to, you know, on and off lights
right.
and all that
Recycling
stuff.
Recycling bins under the desk.
We've done all
those
that.
Kind of
that's like
that's done.
Old news. We've
right.
been doing that for a long time.
Been there, done that.
Yep.
And I have two other questions, but before I forget this question, which is so important to me that you answer, the other day we met and I left and I went to the botanical gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, there is wonderful signage about Cox mm-hmm. supporting the butterfly exhibit.
Yep.
And to me, it is on so many levels. It's not just that I'm Mrs. Green and I love it and it's beautiful. It brings tourists here.
Mm-hmm.
It helps with our economy. It's an exposure to nature that you would not get if you're there. So in terms of philanthropy, I would call that being an environmental steward. Mm-hmm. You're doing that.
Yeah, conservation is one of the three things that we're focused on in terms of our philanthropic giving. We want to help youth in education. Of course, we want to continue to expand people's understanding of technology, but we are really committed to the conservation and the environment. So that is one of the three pillars that we do in terms of philanthropy. The founder, one of the owners of our company, Alex Taylor, came to Tucson to cut that ribbon for the Cox Butterfly and Orchid Pavilion. And the nice thing about our community is that there's a lot of people that have a lot of really good ideas about the environment. It's being connected to them
yes.
and them coming to share
yes.
their ideas and us saying, damn, that's really smart. And what can we do to help? You know, and so redoing that butterfly pavilion and making that, you know, everything that it should be, because that's an amazing botanical garden. The people there work so hard to provide an oasis in the middle of our community. And it was so special that the owner of the company came to Tucson to be there that evening and to be with people and to see it and to thank the Tucson community for what they do around conservation. And, you know, when we give $10,000 or $12,000 to make sure that the San Pedro River is running, the riparian areas that we've supported to make sure that our water is safe, and that all the environment and ecosystem around rivers happens is a big part of what we've done as well. And then this year we'll be doing, I think we'll be having a really big announcement with the Desert Museum, who, you know, it's the Desert Museum. It's not a museum. I mean, it's an ecological.
It's wonder of the world. Research.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. It really is.
So
millions of visitors.
They're going to be doing a big contribution there from the Cox Family Foundation. So they love Tucson. They know that Tucson's a special place and are happy to come here to support the things that people that are involved in this effort.
I cannot wait to hear about that announcement. It's wonderful. The Desert Museum is like, it is really a misnomer.
Yeah.
They should call something like the Desert Living Museum, because it's just everybody who has company to Tucson brings people out there.
We gave a big grant to Brad Lancaster here in Tucson, who
does
the water harvesting.
He was one of the first guests ever on my show. He is the leader in rainwater harvesting. No question about it.
And we gave him a $10,000 grant for the work that he's doing to educate other people on how to do the water harvesting, to provide input about how to make cuts in the roadway so that water flows, so that we can
just
have
just put berms in your yard. Right. I mean, there are so many things you can do to save water in the desert.
Yep, exactly.
He's amazing. And I will digress for 1 minute. I haven't digressed the whole show, and you know about my ADD, but he cracked me up when he was on the show. He was going to the airport, and it was hot in the summer. It was July, and I said, well, you don't have a car. How do you get to the airport? And he said, I take my bike, which was shocking to me. I admit it was like 102 out, and I said, well, what do you do about your luggage? And he picked up his backpack. Lisa, I'll never forget this. And he said, here's my luggage. And I said, but you're going for a month. Where are your shoes? I mean, we had a lot of fun about it, but this is a man, when you talk about a light footprint, because what you carry on the plane bothers me a lot. Mm-hmm. And it drives me crazy now to see how little I can take when I travel, because that's one little thing I can do differently.
Definitely.
Instead of having two suitcases,
You
know, a lightly packed suitcase and wear things more than once. So it's great. But Brad Lancaster. So there are lots of footprints and evidence of Cox supporting nonprofits and environmental issues around in and around the Southwest. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. The last question I want to ask, if we have time to have a last question, I think we do. You have this unbelievable goal, laudable goal, of sending zero waste to the landfills by 2024 for all of your locations, and to be carbon and water neutral by 2044. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges? That is such a rigorous, like really laudable, but wow, it's a huge goal. What do you see? You've been there a long time and you know the ins and outs of Cox. What do you see are some of the biggest obstacles?
Well, some of the obstacles are some of the technologies to achieve these things haven't been invented yet. You know, I mean, I think you really have to be open to what people that are in technology around and care about the environment, what they're into. In order to achieve that, we have to work with a lot of partners. It'd be one thing if it's just trying, even in your own house, you can't just do it by yourself. I mean, you have to really be aware.
So true.
You have to be committed to continually learning about new ways and new technologies and new equipment and things that make it possible to achieve that outcome. So, you know, there's a lot of elements to that, and you can get really heady around it. I think that the key thing for us is that we have at the senior level of the company a board that is focused on this.
Visionaries.
And who are going to be looking for things that can roll down into the markets. And so suddenly here shows up a Dyson hand blower.
Right.
And they ship them to us, and all the papers out that we were, I mean, just some things like that allow us at a local level to get to that objective.
Right.
Because we can't do it by ourselves.
I know. Dyson, another leader.
Yeah.
I've got to get them on.
Those are, I mean, we took all the paper. We don't have any paper towels. I mean, it's all Dyson air blowers.
And it's such a big source of waste. And, you know, it's not just waste. It's all of the things that are done to manufacture it.
The water.
Ship it. And get it. Yeah. And then find out what the waste. So I want to, before I get in big trouble for my team, talk about your websites. And one of the great ones is CoxConserves.com. It's a great website to look around. And for Facebook, there is actually a Cox Conserves Hero Facebook page, which I think is great.
Yep.
And then there are the regular ones like Cox Communication on Facebook and Twitter, Cox Enterprises. But our guests are engaged and they care, and they do things like follow us on Instagram and listen to guests. So we're going to wrap it up. Lisa Lavallo from Cox Communication, thanks for being a part of this show.
My pleasure. Thank you for all you do.
It was so fun and the time flew.
Thank you.
Everybody, make it a great green day, a great green week. and think about some of the unbelievable things that Cox as a company, corporate-wide, are doing to make our world a better, safer, and healthier place. Thanks, everybody.